Let us pray. O Lord, you have taught us that without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts your greatest gift, which is love, the true bond of peace and of all virtue, without which whoever lives is accounted dead before you. Grant this for the sake of your only Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. A father once had to go away on a business trip for several days, but he was anxious about his wife being looked after while he was gone. So before he left, he pulled his oldest son, who was 9, to the side and said, When I'm away, I want you to think what I would normally do around the house, and you do it for me. The father most naturally had in mind chores like cleaning up the kitchen, putting out the garbage, and mowing the lawn. But on his return back from his trip, the father asked his wife what his son had done while he was gone. Well, she said, it was very, very strange. Straight after breakfast, he made himself another cup of coffee, went into the living room, put on some loud music, and read the newspaper for half an hour. The father was left pondering if his son had obeyed him a bit too accurately. This morning we come to a very challenging bit in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he states that his followers are not to seek after revenge, but rather to have love for their enemies. In other words, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love with a perfect gospel love. Jesus' message has been building up to this very point. He started off with the Beatitudes, stating that his kingdom is upside down compared to the kingdoms of this world. He's redefined what it means to be Israel, and now states that his followers are the salt and the light of the world. He then goes on to say that he's come to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. He's challenged and revealed the piety of the religious leaders to be lacking and void of real and true righteousness. But now he tells his followers, those who have and who will make him their king, not to live according to the flesh, but rather by the Spirit. For God is Spirit, and he loves with a generous, perfect love. Love is the key issue, and it is what we are to be known for. Now, people knew about friendship love. People knew erotic love. People also knew about the love that held and bonded families together, the affection that parents have for their children and that children have for their parents. But agape love, a love that gives and gives and gives for the benefit of the one on the receiving end, this was something not well known. Indeed, for many, it was completely and utterly foreign, even still to this very day. But it is precisely this kind of love, agape love, that is the perfect gospel love we are to have as Jesus followers. We are to be perfect in this generosity of sacrificial giving love. Let us then learn from our master, King Jesus, this morning. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, found on page 580. Now you have heard that revenge is a dish best served cold. Old Klingon proverb. We love an eye for an eye. We love a tooth for a tooth. Getting back or getting even is the most natural thing, it seems, according to the flesh. A soldier was over fighting in Iraq, and he received a letter from his girlfriend stating that she was breaking up with him. In the letter, she asked him to return the picture of her that she had given him because she needed it for her bridal announcement. Needless to say, the soldier was devastated and heartbroken. He told his friends what she had written, and one of them came up with this. The whole platoon gave the soldier pictures of all their girlfriends and told him to send them to his ex-girlfriend with the following note. For the life of me, I can't remember which picture is yours. So please remove your picture from all these and return the rest to me. We love retaliation. Just watch two toddling siblings for an hour and you'll see how much we love this sort of thing. It's in us. We love revenge and seeking out our version of justice. But Jesus flips all of this. Do not live according to the flesh. He says, but I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. Oftentimes we read this in our North American context and we think someone has just duped us and we're to offer the other cheek. But in Jesus' day, as it is still in the Middle East today, when you were struck on the cheek, it meant that you had been greatly insulted. What's the normal response to something like this? You insult right back at them. You insult right back at them, adding fuel to the fire. And before you know it, a feud has begun. Yet Jesus says, no, don't fight back. Don't fight back. Don't get even. Instead, offer the other cheek. Meaning be generous and sacrifice and give and give and give. What does this look like? What does it look like? In Africa, a Christian man came to a meeting with terribly burned hands, and they'd been bandaged up. And Corrie ten Boom asked him how they had been hurt. And he replied, my neighbor's straw roof was on fire, and I helped him to put it out, and that's how my hands were burned. Yet it was only later that she heard the entire story. The neighbor hated this Christian man and had set his roof on fire while his wife and children were asleep in their hut. Great fear and danger engulfed them. But the man was able to put out the fire in his house before it started to spread. But sparks flew over the roof of the man who had set the house on fire, and his house started to burn. There was not hatred or malice in the heart of this Christian man toward the other man. There was only love for his enemy. And he did everything he possibly could to put out the fire in his neighbor's house. And that is how his hands were burned. He gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he sacrificed. Be generous and turn the other cheek, for that is perfect gospel love. But what if you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you? Should you sue back and get some cheesy TV lawyer? Absolutely not. Be generous and give your coat also, for that is perfect gospel love. Give and give and give. Sacrifice. Yet what if a soldier demands you to carry his gear for a mile? We live in San Antonio. Hey, it could happen, right? This actually happened in Jesus' day. Roman soldiers actually were permitted to ask civilians to do this. But the law only allowed for a mile. Jesus says, no, go the extra mile. For that is perfect gospel love. Give and give and give. Sacrifice. Be generous. Give to those who ask. Don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You are to be perfect. Perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You are to love with a love that never quits, a love that never gives up, a relentless sacrificial love, a perfect gospel love. Jesus will press even further into this sort of love. He will continue to stretch us because, as Mel Brooks once put it, it's good to be the king. He can do that. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. You see, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees had added on to the law. But the Old Testament was quite clear. We are to love our neighbors. But they had inserted the little bit, and hate your enemy. Love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. This was a big no-no. We are to love our neighbor. And who is our neighbor? You might remember a guy asking Jesus the very same question. Jesus' response was what? He tells them the story about the Good Samaritan. A Jewish man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This was not a safe road. It was notorious for bandits hiding out and roughing you up, or even worse, killing you. And this man was attacked by such bandits and left half dead on the road. A priest comes by, sees the man, and he crosses to the other side of the road. A temple assistant, a Levite, comes by, sees the man, and crosses to the other side of the road. But it is a Samaritan, a filthy mudblood, someone despised by the Jewish people, who comes by, sees the man, and soothes the man's wounds, and bandages them up. And he takes the man to an inn where he is provided additional care. The next day, the Samaritan hands the innkeeper money and says, "Take care of this man. Take care of him. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." This is love. This is what it means to be a neighbor. There is no room for hating one's enemy, only compassion. Only perfect gospel love. Jesus teaches, "But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven." Remember, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Remember, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. We are to love with a relentless, never-quitting, self-sacrificing love. A love that finds itself for the sake of others. In this way, we are to imitate our Heavenly Father. Jesus goes on, "For the Father gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much." You see, even then people didn't like tax collectors. Some things never change. Death and taxes. If you just love those who love you, what's that all about? Anyone can do that. Yet here's the point. But you are to be perfect. Perfect. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, at first, to us, these words are hard and incredibly demanding. How can we be perfect when we are obviously not perfect? I mean, just look at us. Look at us. Look at our lives. Far from perfect, never picture perfect. But in the Greek, it actually plays out a bit differently. It's future-oriented. It reads, "You will be perfect." You will imitate this perfect gospel love. This love that finds itself for the sake of others. This love that is absolutely relentless and shows no favoritism. This love that is self-sacrificing and never quits and never, ever, ever gives up. Yes, you will be perfect one day in this. You will be perfect. This, my friends, is good news, for it gives us hope. But as we hear Jesus' words this morning, how does this perfect gospel love grow in us more and more and more each and every day? We keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes fixed upon him. No one comes to the Father except through him. And Jesus makes the Father known to us. If we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father. We see Jesus now through the eyes of faith, through the Holy Scriptures. But one day, we will see him face to face. Yet if we have made Jesus our king and we continually make him our king every single day, every hour of every day, our flesh will be crucified. We won't seek retribution or revenge or getting even. We won't hate and seek the destruction of our enemies. In crucifying our own flesh, we take up the cross and we yield to the Spirit. And the Spirit will grow in us that perfect gospel love. For faith worketh love. Faith moves us to love. And we imitate Jesus every day. And as we do so, we place our faith in him and we grow more and more to love with this perfect gospel love. As we imitate Jesus, we are actually imitating our Father. Like Father, like Son. Like Father, like Daughter. This is our Lord's will. He wants us to love with a love that continually gives for the well-being of the one on the receiving end. A love that comes forth from within us and constantly pours out and gushes out for someone else, regardless of whether they are good or evil, regardless of whether they are righteous or unrighteous, just or unjust. It is this kind of love that is good news. In the movies Finding Nemo and Finding Dory, Dory the fish frequently sings a song to encourage herself and others to keep on going. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, 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 swimming. It's the Lord's will for us to be perfect in love. What does this look like? Just keep giving. Just keep giving. Giving, 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 giving. This is the sort of love that we are meant to have and to mature in, to grow up in together. This is the kind of love we will be perfect in one day. And we see this love perfectly illustrated in Jesus. For Jesus did not seek revenge when he was mocked. He did not seek retribution when he was beaten. When he was asked to carry the most terrible piece of Roman equipment, he walked up the Via Dolorosa, out of the holy city, to be killed. And as he was dying for the sake of others on the hard wood of the cross, he prayed for those who had mocked him, for those who had beaten him, for those who had forced him to carry an instrument of death. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. That even at the last hour, it finds itself for one's enemies. May we continually pray to be refreshed and empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit so that he can grow more in us that relentless, never quitting, never stopping love that the Father has, which was modeled by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A sacrificial love, a love that shows no favorites, a love that walks the extra mile, a love that flows out from within for the sake of others. A perfect gospel love. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth and made us in your own image. Teach us to discern your likeness in all your children and grant us the grace to love with relentless compassion and mercy for the sake of all peoples. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen.